Ezra Sashem B'li Neder. Let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated to Yishmas Avi Mori, Rav David Tzvi ben Rav Yosef. Today's daf is Nazir, daf Samach Dalet, and we left off at the very bottom of Samach Gimel Beis, but for some weird reason, I left out one line from yesterday's daf. Man, how did I do that? Got so carried away. I left out one line, so we'll begin with the last line of yesterday's. So yeah, I just forgot the last line. I didn't read the last line. Anyway, looking forward to the Siyum. Thursday night, 8:30 at the Emerson home. Siyum HaMaseches Nazir. So the one very special guest which we will announce is that my mom is going to be there. It's in memory of my father. My mom is going to be there. All the learning, that's very special. And we're also going to have another special guest. We'll confirm that a little bit later today. Another special guest at the Siyum Thursday night. Very excited. Everyone's welcome to join us. Encouraged to join us in Teaneck. Let us know for the Siyum on the road. Let's take it away. We actually left off from the last phrase of the last Gemara. V'lo amru tumas atahom el lameis bilvad. But first, a very special good morning to Reb Mordechai, to David Yoshua, to Chanachenach, to Yitzchak Aryeh, and also, hold on a second, great to see... oh my gosh, now you're going to, of course I know your name in Hebrew. What's your initials in Hebrew? My gosh, I forgot them. What?
Tzvi Shimon?
No, you just got to give me the initials. I know Tzvi Shimon, I'm sorry.
Thank you. You belong in your place.
I'm just a little, okay. Dr. Joe, and Yisrael Moshe, Gershon Eitan, and Svika. Tzvi Shimon, yeah, great to see Tzvi Shimon here. So the last line is just V'lo amru tumas atahom el lameis bilvad. That's just the last line from yesterday's Gemara. Jeremy's son, sitting there. V'lo amru tumas atahom el lameis bilvad. Oh, it's Ben Azman. Yeah, Tzvi Shimon must be home for Ben Azman. V'lo amru tumas atahom el lameis bilvad. The whole din of tumas atahom that we said yesterday is only for tumas meis. But let's say a guy's a zav, and nobody knew about it. He's a zav, and I don't know how that's even possible, but. Or whatever, another type of tumah that nobody knew about. Nobody in the world knew about. So then you wouldn't say this leniency of tumas at the home. You wouldn't say that it's only a special din by tumas meis. But the Gemara Pesachim on Peyam Beis teaches us that it's coming to exclude tumas at home of ziva for someone who who's making Karm Pesach. How do you have a case of tumas at the home by ziva? Let's say a person counted the 7 clean days and went to the mikvah and brought his Karim Pesach, and then he saw Ziva after the Tvila. So halach is he's tame retroactively, even though he found out about it afterwards. So you wouldn't say Tumas at home in such a scenario. Anyway, today's daf is going to be all about a fascinating topic called Tuma Tzafa, which is, if there's tumah floating on top of the water, maybe even if there's tumah floating in airspace. So there's a special leniency of tumah that's floating on top of water. If it's a suffix, tumah that's floating on top of the water, so we're going to be lenient with that. Good morning, Rav Eliezer Dov. Here we go. So there's a Mishnah earlier that we said that tumah satahom, if you didn't find, the whole yesterday's daf was about tumah satahom. Right, which is Tumas Mace that was buried away and nobody in the world knew about it, and you only found out about it after you already shaved as a Nazir. So Tumas at the home, even though it happened 2 weeks ago, you found out about it after the shaving, but it happened 2 weeks ago, so that does not reject the Naziris. Once you've shaved, special Halacha Moshe Misinai, once you shave, the Tumah does not reject it. So the Mishnah had said, Ketzad, Yorad, if the Nazir had went down to had gone down to the mikvah to dip, and he found out about the tumah on the way out, and there was tumah floating on top of the water, so since it's floating on top of the water, it's revealed to everybody. So that's not a case of tumas at home. But if you found the tumah buried underneath the mikvah, so that would be tumas at home. So this teaches us that tumah that's floating, suffix tumah that's floating. So, in certain cases, the Mishnah seemed to say that even though it's floating, it is going to be metameyu. Says the Gemara, Safa ain't a matama l'inyan sheretz. So even though floating tumma, if you have kezayis min ames, we said yesterday, kezayis min ames that floats, that will be matamayu. But if it was a sheretz, a dead bug that floats, that's not going to be matamayu. Safa ain't a matama l'inyan sheretz. We're going to learn in the Gemara very shortly that floating tumma, when it comes to sheretz, specifically, floating tumma, even though normally we have a rule, safik tumma brishos hayachid, sveko is tame, but floating tumas sheretz, even in brishos hayachid, sveko is going to be tahar. Decided we learned in a brisa, safik tumma tsafa, bein bekelim, bein bekarka tahora. If you have a safik about floating tumma, we'll see in a moment if it's a sheretz, brachata nohim achlam shaklan yavavaro. It's going to be Tahar. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Bekelim Tmea, Bekaka Tahar. Rabbi Shimon has a limitation of this heter of floating Tuma. He says floating Tuma is only Tahar in Karka, meaning let's say it's a big puddle of water or a mikvah, like we had in the case that we said in the Mishnah. But if it's in a Kli, Suffolk Tuma in a vessel, so then it's not Tahar. It's going to be Tameh. It's the regular rules of Safik Tumah B'Shus HaYachid apply. The whole leniency of Tumat Safa is only if it's floating in the Karka, in water that's on land, and not water that's in a Kli. My time in the Tanakama, what's the logic of Tanakama? That Safik Tumat Safa, whether it's in a Kli or it's in the Karka, it's going to be lenient. It's based on a Stirim Sukkim. One pasuk says in Parshas Shemini, "Al teshaktu es nafsho shechem b'chol asheretz ashoritz kol makom shu shoritz." Where, whenever you have a dead bug, doesn't matter where it is—in a kli, or on land, in water, wherever it is. So b'chol asheretz ashoritz kol makom shu shoritz. So it implies anywhere where the bug is, you're going to have a leniency. Uksiv al ha'aretz v'zelachem ha'tamei b'sheretz ha'shoretz al ha'aretz. That sounds like the tuma of sheretz is only if it's on land and not on the water. So the first pasuk says that sheretz applies everywhere. B'chol ha'sheretz ha'shoretz al teshaktus nafzoshechem, don't defile yourself. B'chol ha'sheretz ha'shoretz, everywhere. The second pasuk says no, only on land a sheretz defiles. Hakeitzad, vaday mago tame. The first pasuk that says that sheretz, tumas sheretz applies everywhere, that's when you actually touch, that's when you for sure touch the sheretz. Safik mago tahar. However, so if you vaday touched it, so then wherever it is, on the water, on land, anywhere, so then it's going to be tame. However, Safik Mago is only if it's Al Ha'aretz. But if it's on water, then Safik, touching it, if it's on water, if it's Tzafa, Tumas Sheretz is Tahar. Special pasuk by Tumas Sheretz that Safik, touching it on water, only Al Ha'aretz, Safik Tuma is going to be Asur. But if it's on water, Safik, Tumas Sheretz, that's Tzafa, is going to be mutter. So that's Tanakama's opinion. That Safik Tumas Sheretz Hatsafa is mutter both on land and in a kli. Rabbi Shimon has another pasuk. Rabbi Shimon, who limits the leniency to only Safik Tumat Safa on land, but not in a kli, Rabbi Shimon, my time, Amar Ulok Siv, Ach Ma'ayon Vor Mikvamayim Yet Tahar. So he says no. He limits the Uksiv Yitma. So one pasuk says a mayan is tahar, and one pasuk says it's tamei. Haketzad Safa bekelim tamei. If it's floating in a kli, then it's tamei. Bekarka tahar. But if it's floating in water on land, so then it's going to be tahar. And now the Gemara is going to have a number of other limitations to this din of floating Safik Tumas Sheretz. Tanaman. Kol ani talan vani grorin sveikon tamit b'neshin kimunachim. Let's say a person takes in his hand a dead bug and floats it on the water, or he's dragging it, it's tied to a string, and he's dragging it on the water. So then we do not apply the leniency of Tumat Safa. It's only if it's floating freely and independently. But if it's floating in your hand or floating on a string that you're holding, that's not floating independently. The leniency would not apply. We would apply the rule of Safik Tumah Mishus HaYachid, Sveiko Tameh. V'hanizrakin Sveikon Tahar. Similarly, if something is thrown through the airspace, so it's Safik Tahar. Now, what in the world is this case talking about? Hanizrakin Sveikon Tahar, something that's thrown. So, is this in the water? Or is this just through the air? So, as Machlok is showing how to understand this din of Tumah, whether or not the din of Tumat Safa, floating Tumah, is that only if it's floating on water? Or this Gemara would seem to say, even if it's floating in airspace, it's floating through the air, it's being carried by the wind, it's not on water at all. So, the Mefarish over here in Dira Masel Sveikon, and the Rosh in Dira Masel Vahanizrakan on the side of the Gemara, Pirish Rosh, they learn the simple Peshat of this price is that Nizrakan means, even if it's floating through the air, so the same leniency applies. You wouldn't apply the rule of Safik Tumah Mishus HaYachid Sveiko Tameh. Rather, we would say, if it's floating Tumah through the air, and it's a Safik, whether you touched it, so it's Tahar. Right? HaNizrakin Sveiko Tahar. So the din of Tumat Safa applies not only if it's floating on the water, but even if it's floating through the air. However, Tosfos, earlier, Samkil and Bezer Masot Safa has a suffix about this. Would we be Mitaher Tumat Safa or not? So the Achronim ask, what do you mean? Doesn't the Gemara say explicitly over here, Hanizrakin Sveikon Tahar? How could Tosfos have a suffix about that? So the Teferis Yisrael answers that Tosfos does not mean to question whether or not Tumah that's floating through the air is Sveiko Tahar. For sure it's Tahar, like it says Beferish in Mishnayis. Rather, Tosfos' suffix is, since there's a din that you're mitayer suffix in the air, the question is, why is it tar? Is it tar because of Tumat Safa? Or maybe tar because of a different reason, that we have a rule, all of Tumah, it's only the way you find it. Kol HaTumah's Kishas Mitziyasa. So from this din, we learn that something that's thrown through the air, and we're not sure while it was in the air, did it touch something? We will not be metame misafik because right now where it is, it's not touching, and therefore kishas mitziyasan, we would be metahirat. And he has a Rambam that sounds like that. At any rate, that's the question over here: whether or not these words hanizrak and sveiko tar, does that mean that all tumat safa is mutter even if it's not in the water, it's in the airspace? Or maybe that's from a different halacha. It's from a different halacha, which is that we follow the way the Tumah is now as opposed to where it was mid-flight. Let's continue. Says the Braisa, Chutz min kezayis hameis v'amayal al pnei Tumah. So if you have a kezayis min hameis that's over you, or you are over a kezayis min hameis, so then even if it's floating in the water, we would not apply the rule of Tumat Safa. As we said before, Tumat Safa only applies to sheretz, because the psukim that we learn out from are by a dead bug and not by kezayis min hameis. The whole din of Tumat Safa, the whole leniency of Tumat Safa does not apply to kezayis min hameis. V'chol davar shemitame milmala kilamata la'asuye zav v'zava. Also, we do not have the leniency by a zav and a zava, meaning by Tumas Heset is a special din of Zav and Zava, that if a Zav moves something, even though it doesn't touch it, so normally he's Metameit. So the leniency of Tumas Zav, let's say he takes a stick and pushes something in the water, he didn't realize it was a Zav pushes something in the water, whether or not he, let's say there's a piece of bread, and the Zav would push it in the water, so we would not apply the heter, the leniency of Tumat Safa, to a Zav, or Tumah of Doris, something that the Zav steps on, even if he's not touching it. He's stepping on it, but not touching it. That's another special Tumah of Zav. On these Tumah, we would not say the din of Tumat Safa to be lenient. Now the Gemara is going to have seven questions about Tumat Safa. by a sheretz, 7 questions about it. And of course, as we find frequently in Nazir, the Gemara answers none of them. Let's see. By Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama had the following 7 questions. What is the din if you have a kezayis min, mace bikli? Now, what do you mean? So, mace, what do you mean? I thought we just said the din only applies to sheretz. So so the girsa that we have is mace bikli. So this is the girsa of the Mefarish and Taisvis and the Rosh. According to the girsa, must be that when we were mitame suffik maga, in other words, when we said beforehand that the whole din of tumat safa doesn't apply to mace, that's only oil mace. But maga mace, just like tumas sheretz is not mitame ba'ol, it's only mitame b'maga. But maybe that once we have this halacha that maga sheretz, so oil mace it doesn't apply, but maga mace it would apply. By maga mace, tumat safa would apply. That's the according to the Mefarish Tosas and the Rush. However, the Rambam says it's only maga sheretz. So the Rambam had a different girsa over here. Instead of mace pikli, he has the girsa of sheretz pikli. Sheretz pikli. The Rambam had a different girsa because if you hold even by tumas maga, it only applies to sheretz and not to mace. So then it doesn't make sense that we're talking about mace over here. So either you have the girsa mace pikli. Most Rishonim hold that the din of tumat safa doesn't only apply to sheretz. It also applies to touching a mace. It just doesn't apply to oil on mace, but it does apply to touching a mace. Or you have to have the girsa sheretz bakli, one or the other. So bayram racham a mace bakli uklit saf al pnei amayim. Oh, we remember this from Shabbos. Mordechai remember this from Shabbos dafei. What's the case? You have a piece of dead body or a piece of sheretz. Let's say it's simple, more simply like the Rambam. Sheretz bakli. You have a dead bug in the kli, and the kli is floating. So how do you view this case? Mahu. Basar kli azlinan. Do we follow the kli? O basar may azlinan. Do we say, since it's in the kli, it's not called safa? It's not directly floating in the water. It's not freely floating. It's in the kli, and the kli is floating. So do we follow the kli, and therefore we say it's tamei? Or do we follow the water, in which case it's going to be tahar? Im timtzalon basar kli azlinan. If you say that we follow the kli, and this is not called floating tumah, mace al gabe sheretz mahu. What about if you have a dead buck, a kezayis on a mace floating on a sheretz? Mahu is this tumat safa? Kevin dahai tumas erev, vahai tumas shiva. The mace is a tummy for 7 days, and the sheretz is only tummy for 1 day. So it's 2 different things. Command the machta tumu b'kli dami. It's like it's in the kli, and therefore it's tummy. Odilma tumas smichti, it's one big fat tuma, and it's all floating, so it's tahar. Question number 3. Vin timtza lomar, kaman demachta tuma b'kli damya, that mace al gabe sheretz is like it's in a kli and it's tamei. V'tamei vadai. Sheretz al gabe nevela, what about a sheretz on nevela, that they're both only tamei till that night? Nevela tzafa, and the nevela is floating, ma, what's the din? Kevin de tavai tumas erevin and tumas smichti, since they're both tumas erevin, so it's one big fat tuma. And therefore, it's all floating, and it's going to be mutter. Odilma ha'ikazayis v'ha'ikah adasha. Tumas sheretz is tummy even the size of a lentil, as opposed to nevela, which is a kazayis. So it's 2 different tumas, and therefore, it's not floating. It's blocking. Question number 4. Sheretz al-gabe sheretz ma. What about if you have one dead bug on top of another dead bug? What's the din? Hani v'adechad shirinu. Certainly, 2 shiratim have the same shiro. Since it's 2 different sherets, the top one is not floating. The bottom one is floating, but the top one is not floating. And therefore, if it's a suffix, whether you touch the top one, it's going to be tame. Only the bottom one is sfeiko tar. Vim tim tilomar, sherets, agabe sherets. That if it's a suffix, whether you touch the top one, it's tame, because it's like it's in the kli. Sheretz al gabi nevela sheni mocha. What about a sheretz on top of liquid nevela? It like melted. Mahu. So is the top sheretz floating in the melted nevela? Since it melted, it's like the top one is floating in the bottom, in the liquid nevela. Odil mahai uchlehu. No, since it came from a hard food, it's considered to be food. Hi, Ochlu. Question number six. Vim Simsalomar, Uchluhu, that liquid nevela is food, and therefore it's not liquid, and therefore the top sheretz is going to be tamei. Sheretz agabi shichvazera, mahu. What about if you have a sheretz floating in shichvazera, in semen? You have a dead bug floating in shichvazera, mahu. What's the shaila? It's for sure liquid, no? Intim saloma. What's the shaila? Since the shichvazera came from the human body, and it's not considered to be liquid. Or no, since now it's liquid, so it is liquid. Since it came from the human body, so it's considered to be like a solid, and therefore the sheretz is not floating in liquid. What about the seventh and final question is, if you have a sheretz floating on top of paraduma water, which has ashes in it, and the paraduma water is floating on the water, what's the din? Do we say since it has ashes, it's like a solid? Or do we say no, since it's primarily water, it's a liquid, and therefore the sheretz is considered to be tumat safa? And by all seven of these kashas, lo yadinan, we don't know the answer, teku. So, the Gemara blibes shver, the Gemara is not sure the answer to all these kashas, and the Rambam paskins in all seven of these cases, l'chumra, that we do not consider these things as floating. Rather, because the Gemara is not sure about them, they're considered to be stationary. The Rambam paskins by all seven of these cases, l'chumra, that they're not considered to be floating, rather they are considered to be stationary. This is the Rambam's general way by Imtim Tzolomars. Since the Gemara, by each stage of the Imtim Tzolomar, the Gemara went l'chumra by all these stages, so the Rambam paskins l'chumra. Now, the other interesting point that the Rishonim raise over here, the Achronim ask, what about the Gemara and Shabbos? This might be familiar to some of us who have been learning Daf Yomi for a while. The Gemara and Shabbos had the question of a nut floating on a kli, which is floating, right? Is that called a hanacha? You know, in order to violate Shabbos, you have to have an akira and a hanacha. You got to put it down in a stationary place. So the question is, if you put it down in something that's floating on the water, is that considered to be stationary or not? Same shaila. Shabbos daf, Ham and Beis. The Gemara in Shabbos, Rava had a suffix by a nut floating in a kli that's floating on water. Is that nut considered to be like a hanach? Is it considered to be like in one place? Because it's on one place on the kli, but the kli is floating. And the Gemara apparently concludes there differently than here, and the Rambam actually paskins the opposite over there when he passes over here, so the Achronim struggle with putting the two sugis together. Maybe the laws of Hanacha don't follow Tumat Safa. So the Tumat Safa, floating Tumah, doesn't play by the same rules as what's considered to be a Hanacha by the laws of Shabbos.
Well, it's because in one case we're talking about Tumah and Tahara, and in the other case, we have rules that have to do with Shabbos.
Correct.
So therefore,
they don't play by the same rules.
They don't shtim.
Correct. But we can hear the kasha of why they would shtim. Here, it's Tumat Safa, floating Tumah. It's not so much about the movement, right? Because it's not about it not moving. It's not about the fact that it's moving that the leniency is. It's just the fact that it's right. It's suspended. So maybe that's why it doesn't play by the same rules. Okay. Amar Rav Amnuna.
I don't want to clarify.
I'm sorry? See Shimon. Oh, I'm sorry. Did he have a question? No. Okay, apologize. Okay. Amar Rav Amnuna. Nazir v'ose Pesach. Shehochu. Now we're back to the din of Tumas HaTahom. We said in yesterday's daf that if you find out about the Tumas HaTahom, which is tumah that nobody in the world knew about it at the time, and 2 weeks later, after you already brought your Karban Pesach, or after you already shaved in your Naziris, you found out that you came in contact with Tumas HaTahom 2 weeks ago. Amar Amnuna, Nazir v'oseh Pesach. Holchu b'kever HaTahom. B'shvi'i shelahen. Let's say it happened on day number 7. And you didn't find out about it till after day number 8, till after you shaved, after the karbanos and you shaved. Tahorim. My time. Dlo alima tumasa tahom lemistar. If you find out about it after the shaving, so then, even if the tumah happened on day number 7, after you went to the mikvah, right, you were tummy. And day number 7, you came in contact with tumas atahom. And you only found out about it later, so you're tahor. My time, it's not such a strong tumah that it rejects it if you find out about it later. Masiv Rava, Rava asked against this from our Mishnah. Yarad, the nazir went down to the mikvah in order to be tova. V'litayr b'tumas ames. Ah, he was tamed tumas ames, and he went to the mikvah on day number 7. Tame shecheskas tame tame shecheskas tar tar. The leniency of tumas atahom doesn't apply if you're becheskas tame. What do you mean over here? You just told me, Rav Amnuna just said if it's on day number 7, he's going to be tar. Answers the Gemara, the obvious difference. There you found out about it before. Here you found out about it after. Amale, Rav Amnuna said to Rav, what in the world are you asking against me? Modina lach benazir shemuchutzit tiklachas. Over there, he found out about it before the shaving. I'm talking about where he found out about it after the shaving. Amale, Rav said back to Rav Amnuna, afana modina lach. Tosis has the gears here, benazir of Osa Pesach. We have the gears of Osa Pesach. Tosa says, Benazir, Osa Pesach, lo mechuz of a lo klum. I agree with you also. If it's after the shaving, where he's not missing anything, he only finds out about it after the shaving, he's not lacking anything, I agree with you that he's going to be Tahar. He doesn't have to bring another carbon Pesach, and he doesn't be Sosa the Naziris. Amale Abaye, so Abaye asked Rava, wait a second. Baha mechuzer harev shemesh. Who cares that he found out about it after the shaving and after the karbanos? Isn't it true? Isn't it true that anyone who goes to the mikvah, since he became tamei with the tumah of before the sun set, since he became tamei with the tumah he became tummy with the Tumas Atahom prior to the sun setting. So why do we say that he's Tahar? Hallowed, he's not completely Tahar until the sun sets. Even after the Tahara process, he's lacking in the sun setting. Harav Shemesh, he's lacking in that. So why do we consider him to be already Becheskas Tahara? Right, in the case we said before, by cheskas tamei tamei cheskas tar tar, that the din that a nazir is not soser is only said when, at the time he became tamei, he already had a cheskas tar. But if at the time he had a cheskas tuma, right? So, in the case of the mikvah, the case of our mishnah, where we said yarad li tar mitumas ames tamei. Shecheskas tamei tamei and cheskas tar tar. The din that a nazir is not soser, the days of his nazirus, when he's nitma b'tumas atahom, is only at the time that he was metame himself, he had a cheskas tahara. But if he was becheskas tamei, no. So the Gemara is now asking, even in a case where he had a cheskas tahara, at the end of the day, even after he went to the mikvah, at the end of the day, he didn't yet have harav shemesh. He's not totally tar yet because the sun didn't set. So Abai asked Rava, maybe we should say that in case of where he went to the mikvah, he already came out of the mikvah. He came out of the mikvah. But he needs to wait till the end of the day. So Rava answered back to him, no. If he's already gone to the mikvah, he's a cheskas tahara. And if he finds out about it, again, we're talking about a case where he found out about the tumah after the shaving, but when did the tumah happen? If the tumah happened when he was becheskas tumeya, so then he's still tumah, even if he finds out about it later. If the tumah happened at the time where he was becheskas tumah, so then we say the whole heter, leniency of tumas hatom, does not apply. So ask Abaye to Rava, but even though if the actual Tumah happened, at the time that he was Becheskas Tumah, it's no good, but if he was Becheskas Tara, it's good. Even if he already came out of the mikvah, that's when he came in contact with the Tumah. So he was Becheskas Tahara. Why does the leniency apply? At the end of the day, the sun didn't set. So since the sun didn't set, he still should be Becheskas Tumah. Even after he came out of the mikvah, he's not fully Tar until he has Harav Shemesh. Amalei, Rabbi said Tabaya, well, no. He's called Becheskas Tara. Why? Because he doesn't have to do anything more. Shimsha Memela Arva. The sun is going to set by itself. And since the sun is going to set by itself after he comes out of the mikvah, he's considered to be Becheskas Tahara, even though he's not really fully Tumah until the sun sets. At the end of the day, we know the sun is going to set by itself. He doesn't have to do anything. And therefore, he's called Becheskas Tahara, not Becheskas Tumah.
Is this like double indemnity? Is that what we're saying? That since, anyway, he's not fully cleansed, then you can't get a second on top of the first. But if that's true, then what happened with what we were learning yesterday, or day before, where you have two or three different types of tumah, and this is also like that.
So first of all, here it's the same type of tumah. But again, the question the Gemara is struggling with over here is, once a person has already gone to the mikvah on day number 7, and then he comes in contact with tumas atahom, and he finds out about it afterwards, is he becheskas tumah or becheskas tahara? So Rava says a tremendous chiddush, even though he's actually not tahar yet, he is becheskas tahara, because the tahara is going to happen by itself automatically when the sun sets. And the Gemara now says, John, va'af abayu hadabay. Even Abaye backed out of his questioning against Rava, and he ended up agreeing to Rava that once you've gone to the mikvah, even before Harav Shemesh, you're called Becheskas Tahara, because the Tahara is going to happen automatically. And where do we learn this from? A case of an Isha Yoledes. Desanya, we learned in a Braisa. Yom Melos Tavi. The halacha is, every woman who gives birth to a female, after 80 days, she has Dam Tohar for 80 days. Any blood that she sees for the first 80 days is Dam Tohar, but she brings a carbon at the end of 80 days. Now, on day number 81, she brings a carbon. Let's say she miscarries a second child within the 80 days. She miscarries a second fetus. She gives birth. And then within the 80 days of the first birth, she miscarries within the 80 days. She can bring one carbon for both babies, the live baby and the miscarried baby. Let's say she miscarries on day number 81. So, the sign we learned in a braisa, Yom Malos Tavi. If it's day number 81, she has to bring an additional carbon. Toch malos, but if it's within the 80, then lo tavi. She doesn't have to bring an extra carbon. Yachol lo tavi al leida shelifne malos. Aval tavi al leida shelachem malos. What about in the following case? She gives birth. Then she miscarries within the 80 days, and now she miscarries a third miscarriage, really a second miscarriage, but a third birth, within the 80 of the second one, but it's not within the 80 of the first one. So that's a machlokas between Tana Kama and Rabbi Eliezer. So it's a machlokas in a Mishnah in Croesus on Daf Tesamid Beis. Machlokas Rabbi Yehud and Chachamim. A woman who has a third birth within 80 of the second, but not within 80 of the first. Rabbi Yehud says, even though she could bring one carbon for the first two, however, this does not exempt the second miscarriage, because even though that was within 80 of the second, but it wasn't within 80 of the first, and therefore she's got to bring one for the first two and one for the third. However, the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say, as long as each miscarriage is within 80 of the one before it, you could bring one for all three. And then even if you had another miscarriage within the third and another, one carbon covers all of them. So the Gemara wants to know, within the opinion of, with this question is within the opinion of Chachamim, who say you could bring one for everything. So, within the opinion of Chachamim, Yachal lo tavi aleda shalifni melos, aval tavi aleda shalachar melos. And we have the Girsa Vitipata Mishteyan, but we most people erase that. Tamalomar uvimlos yimei tahara. Biyom melos. Tavi. Starting from day number 81, you bring two. But toch melos lo tavi. But if it's within 80, so then you don't bring an extra carbon. So, Amar Rav Kahana, in explaining the word, what does this price mean? Why within the second, 80 days is still considered to be within the first 80 days, even though it was after the 80 days of the first one? How come the Chachamim hold that if the second miscarriage is within 80 days of the first miscarriage, even though it's not within 80 days of the first birth? Amar Rav Kahana, Shani Hacha de Mechasra Karban. Since at the time of the third one, you haven't brought the carbon yet, right? You haven't brought any karbanos yet. What happened over here? You had a birth. You chayav to bring carbon at the end of day 80, but you miscarried, let's say, on day number 60. So you haven't brought the carbon yet. And now you miscarried on day number 60 from the second one. You still haven't brought a carbon. Shani Hacha de Mechasra Karban. So if you miscarry on day number 80 from the first one, since you haven't brought the carbon yet, and then you miscarry on day number 80 from the first, from that one, you haven't brought the carbon yet. So this is going within the Shittas Chachamim. I asked the Gemara, wait a minute. They ask against Rav Kahana, wait a minute. But if it was day number, why did it say it was day number 81? Mechaser Harav Shemesh. But even if it was day, we're talking about maybe you didn't dip in the mikvah until day number 81. And you didn't have, so if you didn't go to the mikvah until day number 81, the sun still didn't set on day number 81. The sun didn't set on day number 81. So therefore you weren't really able to bring the carbon on day number 81, because you have to wait till the sun sets, till day number 82. And yet it says, if you miscount on day number 81, you're going to have to bring an extra carbon. Amalei Abaye. So Abaye answered, Shim Shim Emela Arva. We don't care the fact that the sun didn't set. At the end of the day, the sun's going to set automatically anyway. So the fact that the sun didn't set does not consider to be that you're no longer ready to bring the carbon. Once it's day number 81, and you went to the mikvah on day number 81, and you're roi to bring the carbon day number 81, even though the sun didn't set, that's considered to be roi la carbon, and therefore you're going to be chai of a separate carbon on day number 81. And who said this statement, that the sun is automatically going to be set? Abaye. So you see that Abaye backed out on his question against Rava by saying that since the sun didn't set, so you're not considered to be fully tahar, and rather you say that Abaye says you're becheskas tahara, and therefore you're becheskas chi of carbon, and once you're becheskas chi of carbon on day number 81, you can't consider that carbon to be for both, and you have to bring two separate carbonos, even according to Chachamim. So Abaye says, Shim Shim Meila Arva, the sun's going to set by itself, and since the sun's going to set by itself, we consider to you already be becheskas chi of carbon, and once you're becheskas chi of carbon, you can't say that the miscarriage on day number 81, it's included in the first one, even though you didn't bring your carbon yet for the first one. Your bechesk is chi of carbon, and therefore you got to bring a second carbon for a miscarriage that happens on day number 81. Bosai, we'll stop here. We'll pick it up tomorrow.